Hello, friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Pulse. We are so excited to be joining you today. It's going to be a really good day. We do miss Pastor Troy. He is actually en route to Uganda, right? When does he leave? When does he leave, Ben?
I take him to the airport tonight.
Okay. So he's probably packing right now because we've been keeping him busy up until he leaves. We literally were filming, and we'll get to that in a second, but we've been filming over the past 3 days, a really exciting, special, brand new project that is coming up. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I am your host today, Shay Wilbur, the media director here at Open Door Church and all things within this house. And I'm just so excited because today is not your usual show. We have two very, very special guests, and we'll bring them in a second. But before we do, you guys, trust me, you're not going to want to miss this. Here's a little teaser, a little sneak peek of who our guests might be if this rings a bell. They lied to you about the rapture. If you've been following us on social media, you probably know who our guests might be. But Ben, who do we want to welcome today?
Well, there's only been a couple people I've been able to catch so far, but it's good to see Stephen Pruitt from Midland, Texas,
hey.
Rhonda from Joshua, Texas, Jennifer and Gloria from California. I know also that William Blair is watching from Big Time, Alabama. Good to see you, brother.
Hey, hey.
A bunch of our regulars are also on, such as Tabitha. It's great to see you. Yeah, there's a bunch of our regulars in here hanging out.
I see Glen Rose, Texas, high on a windy hill.
Yep, we got Tara Didio is also in the chat room right
Tara
now.
Tara Didio.
In the chat
Didio. Ben, did
sorry.
You not watch our reel that
Dude,
we did
I'm
last time
listen,
they were
I'm
here?
I'm tired. Okay.
We did a whole reel because there was this whole argument on how to pronounce Didio, which I used to say Didio, but now I've been correct. I stand corrected. You just have to think that they're Italian, so you got to go like Didio.
Wait, I need to point this one out.
You'll remember.
My brother George from Uganda, East Africa, is in here, and he's making fun of me right now. He says, hello, bitch, Manene Manene. Do y'all know what Manene Manene means?
What is that?
It means the fattest of fat.
Hey!
Which in Uganda,
George. Whoa,
in Uganda is actually a big compliment.
It is. Okay.
So when you're fat, it means you can eat well, which means you're healthy and you're wealthy. So, it's a compliment, but it's
okay.
Like,
well,
I see you, George. I'm watching you.
We love you, George. We love you. And we're so happy for all of you who have joined us today. You know, we love getting this opportunity to kind of just pause and catch up with you in the craziness of all the things that we have going on within the ministry. And we just want to encourage you, maybe this is your first time joining us. Maybe you're on Rumble and you're new to The Pulse. We are here every Tuesday and Wednesday at this time, 1 p.m. And we do all of this, everything that we do in ministry, we do so we can rescue kids. So that's why you see the 800 number on your screen. That is a 24/7 prayer line as well. So if you need someone to stand with you in prayer, believe with you, you can call that number 877-413-0888. You could also get in this fight to rescue kids from human trafficking. You know, we actually rescued two little girls just yesterday. We were in the middle of our pastor's meeting and we got word that these two little girls that we had been trying to rescue for weeks, we finally were able to rescue them. And man, that was really cool to be there when Pastor Troy got that news. And that is why we do all of this. That is why we do what we do. So if you're new to us, welcome. And you can go to troybrewer.com if you want more information about that. But besides that, I think we need to bring in our guests.
But real quick, we got to remind everybody, if you are new here, please do not forget to follow, hit the like
yes.
button. Also, if you're on YouTube, make sure and subscribe. Also, welcome to everybody on Rumble. It's so good to have you. This is a brand new platform we're streaming on, and it is great to have you guys here. If you have not checked us out on Rumble, be sure to hop over there and make sure to subscribe on there too. But yes, let's go ahead and bring in our guests.
I love that we're on Rumble too.
Yeah, awesome.
I feel like it's like our people. It's another place of our people.
Oh, I agree.
We love it. All right. Awesome. Well, we are so honored to have not one, but two Didios in the house. Actually, technically we have four because we've got the whole fam in here today. But Pastor Allen and your son, Evan, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, my friends.
There you go.
So I'm doing the mighty name of King
got
Jesus. I am not Troy Brewer, but I do play him on TV.
Yes.
There you go.
And we're so glad to be here.
We should have gotten you the cowboy hat. We should have stolen one
know,
from his office.
I know. No one would have noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
We could have just kept going. People thought, Troy's in Africa and he's in Texas at the
yeah,
same time.
Exactly.
It would have been like he leveled up his beard.
Exactly.
Yeah, what happened to
Troy's
beard? He actually grew a really good beard.
Yeah. Exactly. Evan, it's good to see you.
It's good to be. I don't know what I'm doing here, but it's good to be here.
Well, you know, you guys were all here and you were here because we were filming a show that we'll chat about in a second. But I don't know if a lot of people realize that you run his media. You are the media director for everything that
Blame
Pastor
him
Allen,
for
man.
Everything. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You guys do such a great job. I mean, we are constantly taking notes from you guys
oh,
and
man.
I'm literally like texting, hey, Evan, what would you do about this? What should I do with this? And you guys are just, God has really blessed your ministry.
Thank you.
And I think I'm so honored to have you here with us.
Man, me too. This is exciting.
Well, we level up together, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Love it.
And we do the same thing with your team and with what you guys got going over here at ODX. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's really cool timing that you're here because your book, They Lied to You About the Rapture, just released yesterday, which is crazy. It was your official release day. So yes. I just feel so honored that you're spending this time with us. And we're going to talk about your book today in a minute. But I have to tell you, I was raised post-trib.
Come on.
So I was raised to believe, hey, we're going to go through the tribulation. Get ready. It's going to be scary. You run from the mark of the beast. I mean, I was literally raised wow. having nightmares as a kid, thinking I was going to get the mark of the beast and not know it. Thinking, I mean, I just remember hearing all kinds of crazy things growing up. I remember at one point they were like, this is like the mark of the beast. Do you remember oh, we
yeah.
were
barcodes.
Saying that?
Yeah, barcodes. WWW was the mark of the beast at one point.
Yes, yeah. And like the chips, people putting chips in their hand to like unlock their doors. Yeah. And then credit cards. Oh, you could be like, and I'm like, oh my goodness, do I have the mark of the beast? And I didn't even know. So I have many things to ask
you. Let's talk about it.
Because what I told you yesterday, you know, I'm not a scholar when it comes to this stuff. I know it's something that a lot of people talk about. And the rapture is one of the most searched terms that we have found in people that follow us and are in our social media sphere. I mean, over 200,000 the past month searched the word rapture.
Oh,
and when
goodness,
we posted the interview with you last week, I think it was at NRB, we got so many hits on that. And it's people searching just the rapture. It's not people that follow us. I mean, people want to know, what is the rapture?
Wow.
Why do I care about it? What do I believe about it? Do I need to care about it? All of those things. So I'm really excited. I'm excited personally to dive into this with you. But before we get to that, you are here actually in person because we spent the past 2 days filming a brand new show.
The Counter.
The Counter.
Wow, it's wild. It's like X-Files meets The View. Right?
I love that.
And the personalities are very similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we talk about all these crazy things with some amazing men of God on that panel. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, what are these people talking about?
Yeah. And I think we have some pictures. Taylor, do you have pictures from that? We spent the past, look at this crew. Okay. So that's Tony Merkel, Joseph Z, Pastor Troy, Pastor Allen, Pastor Darren Scott, and Stott. And we actually switched out. So the person sitting here was our fifth wheel. So Brian Schwartz, the person all the way over on the left, I realize you don't see what I'm pointing to. But anyway, there we go.
There's
Pastor
Schwartz.
Brian Schwartz. We would swap them out. And man, you guys talked about so many things over the past 2 days. Man, I'm like, how many days has it been? Because we filmed so many episodes. And wow, what was your favorite topic that you guys talked about?
You know, we cover things from dreams, understanding dreams and interpreting dreams. That was a really interesting episode to Nephilim magic, which is wild.
Yeah.
To aliens, artificial intelligence. I think my favorite was miracles. When we were talking about miracles of healing, of prosperity, of provision, it was just so encouraging. And to have all those different perspectives talking about those things, this show is going to be unlike anything that's out there in Christian television, period. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we're so excited that you're a part of it. And, you know, it was something that the Lord put on Pastor Troy's heart. I forget, maybe like a year ago or so, and he started talking about it, and we finally were able to make it happen. We're going to be releasing it in the fall. But I think my favorite part was that, you know, we'd be talking about some dark things, and a lot of times, you know, with like the Nephilim and the, I don't know, giants and aliens and portals, like to me, some of that stuff gets a little scary. And what I love, though, is there was always the redemptive factor in everything we talked about. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you know, even when talking about the aliens, I remember Joseph Z had told a story at one point about his wife. And I think there was some type of confrontation with something, some other type of being that was maybe extraterrestrial or whatever. And they had to flee at the name of Jesus. And it's like having that reminder, like, hey, guys, this is not stuff for us to be scared about as believers, because we have authority in those moments. And I don't know. It was a cool angle.
Yeah, you don't see that anywhere, because I remember the show Unsolved Mysteries.
You
remember
that? Me too.
So, and it left you terrified because, you know, there's no answer. It's just an unsolved mystery. Here we solve the mysteries and we say, here's what the Bible has to say about it. And you have authority over these things in Jesus' name. So it was really cool.
I just realized that there never was an answer to those mysteries.
No.
Maybe that's why I had so many nightmares as a kid, because I know I would watch that show all the time. Yeah. And it's funny because when we were talking about even The Counter and how we wanted to film the beginning, it was giving me the Unsolved Mysteries, I think the vibes of that. And what about you? What was the highlight of the past couple of days for you?
Oh, man, I loved the human trafficking one specifically. Yeah. That was powerful. Wow. Pastor Troy walking through that and what's actually happening behind the scenes there. But I do think watching you guys work, you guys did such an amazing job. And I commented on your Instagram post. I believe that the fruit of this is going to last for generations, this show. So it's going to be big. And I think people need to be ready to share it. And it's going to change some things.
And there's two different versions of it. So
there'll
be the one that's publicly released.
Yep.
That's half the length.
Yep.
And then there's one that's privately released just for the ODX family.
Yeah.
Those who are at ODX.TV. So And that's like double the length of it. So it's going to be super, super
cool. Yeah, we're going to be posting the raw and cut version on odx.tv. And if you're joining us for the first time, that's our platform. That's our online platform. It's a subscription-based VOD platform where all of our content lives there. And what's really cool about it, really unique, is not only when you join, do you get access to our content, but the money goes towards helping rescue kids all over the world. So it's a really cool way that you get to partner with us in rescuing kids from human trafficking. And hey, you also get all this extra content, which as of this fall is going to be really, really cool. I'm super excited. Ben, what about you the past couple of days? What's been the highlight for you?
I've been sitting here trying to think of which episode I like the most. I didn't get to watch all of them in their entirety because I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Yeah, well,
a lot of us were.
But
okay.
I've watched a good portion of almost all of them. But I think what I liked most is the diversity. Mm-hmm. How each one of you had an amazing point. And it wasn't a fight. It was a fun, almost like a compilation of just different opinions and different ideas. And how the spirit flowed in that entire conversation, dude, it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
Because some of those are like super heavy conversations, and it just went really well.
Because we don't all land on the same place necessarily.
Yeah.
And one of us may be searching the scriptures about that thing currently. Someone has a solid opinion. Someone has a different opinion. It just all comes together. And I think it's an example of how we as a body can function and walk in unity together, even if we differ on small little picayune things.
I love that you said that, because it's like we're in a day and age when I feel like everyone wants to pick a fight.
Yeah.
Whether you're in the church or you're not. It's like everyone has an opinion, which is fine, but everyone wants to pick a fight. And I'm like, when did we have to like lose friends because we voted for different people? When did we have to, you know, not be friends with people who don't think exactly the same as we do? It's crazy. And I think that's something that's, I've noticed even, especially since the election.
Yeah.
I mean, there was someone the other day where I was like, oh my gosh, they don't follow me anymore. Like, wow. And I know it was from all the election stuff. And I'm like, they're my friend. Like, they were actually my friend. It wasn't even just an acquaintance. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that was a thing. But we're in this day and age where so much is polarizing and people are so quick to get offended and take a side and all this stuff. It's like, man, how do we get there?
And the enemy knows this, so he'll intentionally do this on different subjects that he wants us to avoid. I think it was 2015, I got a word from the Lord saying, pay attention to the doctrines that are attacked or that are taken advantage of.
Wow.
And most Christians, they turn off. If something is attacked or ridiculed, they just stay away from it. Instead, we should lean into those things and find out what the Lord's saying. What is he doing? Because obviously God wants to speak through that, and the enemy's trying to cloud the issue with propaganda. So hopefully we do that.
What was nice too, though, is since all of y'all have different opinions, all the questions that we get all the time, like there's a bunch that are on here all the time, but we can't answer them all. But the way that y'all did it, each one of you had a different answer for each subject and for each thing. So it's going to cover a ton of different ground on who believes what and how they believe it. And I think it was just awesome.
Yeah, well, I just got distracted from this comment that we got. I had a demon or something, not of this world, approach me in college. It told me I could come work for him. I would give him power and wealth. I knew a lot about the Bible and church and could do a lot of damage. I told this figure, you tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. This is an old trick and I will not work for you. I am for God, not against him. Then the thing left. I love that. Taking power over the the things that try to come against you. I think sometimes we forget that we walk in this power as believers.
Yeah, no question. And the disciples even forgot about it. You know, the Bible said that he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Yes. And then a chapter later, there's a boy who's demon possessed and they said, we can't cast him out. So they brought him to Jesus. You can imagine the frustration that Jesus had. And that was only a chapter later. Now imagine 2,000 years later, how much authority we've lost that must be regained and restored. And we're getting it. We're getting here at the Open Door.
Yes.
We're getting it.
We are. Well, listen, let's get into your book because I have a list of questions. And, you know, we filmed actually when we were filming yesterday, we did an episode on the rapture and I'm like here producing the show, but I'm also purposely not listening because I didn't want to hear any of the answers. Yeah. And I had all these questions for you. So I was like, okay, I'm paying attention, but I kind of had my headphones on. So I didn't want to ruin any of the answers for today.
And people watching online ask questions too.
Yeah. Yes,
let us know what your questions are.
Yeah, and Rebecca, if you can be, Rebecca's in the room too, by the way. Shout out to Rebecca over there. Rebecca? She's here. But text me if you see some questions, especially about the rapture, because if you're like me, you have a lot of questions about this. Maybe you were raised, you know, being scared of the tribulation at a very young age, like I was. I said it before, but I feel like I was too aware of the dark things that, and maybe that was just the circles that I was, I grew up in the church. You know, I was raised in a pretty charismatic setting. And I always knew about like demons and all the dark side of things. And I felt like I didn't know enough about like our authority and our power. And, you know, these are things not to be scared of, but that God has a plan for you as a believer within all of this, you know? So let's just start very simple with what is the rapture?
Well, the rapture itself, this is where people get confused because there'll be detractors in the comments saying, there is no rapture. I don't believe in the rapture. Actually, every Christian believes in the rapture because the rapture is simply the resurrection of our bodies, that there's coming a day when Jesus will redeem our entire man, including our body. And there's coming a moment when those who are alive will be raptured, if you will, translated and receive that glorified body that Jesus had. It is the culmination of Christ's redemptive work. Not just our spirits, not just our souls, but our bodies are redeemed. Where we're not going to have gray hair anymore. We're not going to, our knees not going to go out anymore. We're not going to have sinuses like I've been dealing with today anymore. We're going to be totally redeemed. And that's a glorious thing to consider. Where we differ is, when is that going to happen? And it's okay to differ on those things.
Yeah.
It's not a salvific issue. Your salvation is not going to be compromised because you differ on the issue. But we should all agree that there's coming a great day when we will receive our glorified bodies and the promise of Jesus will be fulfilled. And the same way he walks in resurrection power, we're going to walk in it as well.
Yeah, I think that was one of those things too for me. It was like, I always knew, okay, it's not a matter of salvation. So it's, you know, it's important for us to know. And I'm excited to hear from you, especially why you feel like it's important to have an understanding of this.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I like that you said that this is not a salvation thing. This is not, it doesn't come down to like, you're going to heaven or not because you believe in this. Because I've heard some people say, and you tell me if this is one of the lies, because I hope it is, but that if you're not waiting for the rapture, then you're not going to get raptured.
Right.
Even if you're a believer.
Right. Well, that's called the partial rapture theory, which I don't buy into.
Okay, good.
And the reason,
please talk me out of that one.
And the reason is because every viewpoint, whenever you develop a camp around something, it's going to have extremes.
Right.
Now, the reason why that they believe that is because it's replete throughout the New Testament. You better be watching. You better be watching. Right. You better be watching. So it's not that Christians who aren't watching aren't going to go. I believe it's that by the very nature of being a Christian, you're just looking to Jesus.
Yes.
You know, you're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Mm-hmm. And we'll dig deeper into that kind of as we study this.
Yeah.
Because it's essential for your spiritual warfare. It's essential for getting victory against end time deception. Mm. And so all that's key, but just because you don't have the eschatological timeline that I do doesn't mean that you're deficient as a believer. Right. We all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. And this is one of the areas that the enemy's propagandized and made it radioactive, that people immediately lash out either against the rapture or for the rapture. And we don't need to do that. The Bible says that there is a crown that's promised to all those who love his appearing. I believe Satan is trying to steal that crown from every Christian. He can't stop you from going to heaven, but he can't stop you from getting that crown if he can. And he's trying to hinder that. And our arguing and our debating is not going to get a generation to fall in love with his appearing.
Yeah.
And that's what the goal is.
Wow. I have so many questions. I'm like, where do I even start? So if the enemy wants to distract us from really waiting and anticipating the return of the Messiah, what, as far as, I mean, when you look at like the end times and things heating up, why, what effect can us being distracted kind of have on that for us?
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Jesus was talking about the last days, he said deception would be the number one sign of the last days. And we'll get to the armor of God. In fact, can I do that right
yes,
now?
Please.
Can we get to that? I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And those of you watching online, if you've got questions, again, let us know. And there's no question that's offensive to me. Because when I started into this debate, my love language is sarcasm. So a quarter of a century ago, when I first kind of discovered these truths, I weighed into the conversation and I came in hot. And I realized that wasn't helping the conversation at all. And because of that, though, you can't offend me with your questions. I know what it's like to have questions and objections to these kinds of things. Because I said, well, every generation thought that they're the generation that's going to see the coming of the Lord. But let's talk a little bit about why this is so key, because a lot of people have this view, you know, there's pre-trib, that it could happen before the tribulation, mid-trib in the middle, post at the end of the tribulation, and other views. And people will joke and say, well, I'm pan-trib, you know, however it pans out.
Okay.
That's fine with me.
I just don't like the word pan, because then I think of like...
The God?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Or do you think of a frying pan?
No, I just think of like the whole, like... Gen Z, like all the gender stuff, like pansexual, pan, blah, 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 all that.
Pan is also the god of fear, which is where we get the word panic from.
Interesting. Isn't I didn't that know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
There would be people who would, outside of Caesarea Philippi, they would encounter him if they didn't make offerings properly. And they would have this unreasonable fear come on them. And so they called it panic because they were being tormented by the demon spirit Pan.
So even that word comes from like referring to a god.
So no one watching should ever say that they have panic attacks. You don't have panic attacks.
Wow.
Because, wasn't that Saul on the mountain too? Is that what he was dealing with? Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so when we're talking about the importance of the rapture and why the enemy would try to distract from this, Matthew 24 says, it is a wicked servant who says in his heart, my master delays his coming. Mm-hmm. He's teaching about the end times there, and he says something happens in the way people behave and the way they live when they think the master will delay his coming. And what was it? Guys remember what happened? What happened to that guy who thought his master was going to delay his coming? Do you know what he did?
He went and hid.
He beat his servants.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the wrong parable.
No, you're thinking about 25. he beat his servants. He started acting crazy because he thought he had time. And so Jesus says,
wow,
that the thought that Jesus isn't coming right now, that opens the door to wickedness. It doesn't mean people who don't believe he could come at any moment are wicked. That's not what it does. Mm-hmm. It opens the door to wickedness because if you believe Jesus could return at any moment,
then you're on your toes.
Then you're on your toes. That's exactly right. Now, there's a balance to this, of course. Yeah. We don't want people quitting their job because they think Jesus could come at any moment. That's what Paul's dealing with in 1 Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. He had 3 years to launch the church at Ephesus. He had 5 years to launch the church at Corinth. He had 4 weeks in 1 Thessalonians to launch that church. And what did he focus on? The rapture. And he begins to teach on the rapture of the church to this young group of people.
Wow.
And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he starts to talk about this. And then when we get to chapter 5, now, how many of you are familiar with the armor of God? You ever?
Yeah.
You did a study on the armor of God, right?
Yeah.
There's always been a piece of armor there that confused me. The helmet of salvation. That did not make sense to me whatsoever. He's talking to believers, and he's telling believers, put on the helmet of salvation. Can a believer take off their salvation? Do they take it off at night and set it on the nightstand and put it back on in the morning? What in the world is he talking about?
Yeah.
Well, in 1 Thessalonians, he elaborates on this, chapter 5 and verse number 8. He says, and remember, he's just spoken about the rapture of the church. He's talking about the day of the Lord. He says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So the helmet is not the helmet of salvation.
That's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Those couple words in there really make a big difference.
And then he says in the next verse, because God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So,
oh my gosh.
It causes a light bulb to turn on. You know?
I'm like my whole life, because I know the verse is helmet of salvation.
Right.
Because in like songs where I have to sing the helmet of salvation. And so that's just what you think, the helmet of salvation. But the hope of salvation is totally different.
Yes, that Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Wow, and when you think about it, when you say it, it's like in Chronicles of Narnia, whenever Aslan's name is mentioned, it's like hope arises.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when you say Jesus is coming. It's funny watching people who have different views on eschatology. Mm-hmm. But when they sing about the return of the Lord, doesn't matter what your view is, something happens when you start talking about Jesus is coming and singing about that. So there's an energy that's released, an anointing that's released in the atmosphere, because it's a truth that not only brings hope, but it protects our minds.
Yeah.
Just like he mentioned about the servant in Matthew 24. So the helmet of the hope of salvation, anxiously anticipating the return of our Lord, does something to your mind that protects you. Of course, salvation, a helmet protects your eyes, protects your vision, protects your hearing, protects your thinking. How important is that in the last days?
Wow.
And I would submit that the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ is that helmet. Mm-hmm. And when you think along those lines, it does something radical to transform your life and to protect you, not to condemn you.
I
give the example all the time of 1 year I bought my wife a car. It was the first year we bought a car. She didn't know I was going to get it. My daughter and I went to the dealership.
Aww, that's cool.
We got the car. We got it back to the garage, and we were cleaning up the garage and trying to put a ribbon on the car, getting it ready. And we were working hard, but then we got a phone call where Tara said, I'll be home any minute.
Oh my goodness.
And then it's like you hit fast forward, right? Because we're like scurrying around there trying to get everything ready. And it's not because we're scared. Not because we're condemned or we're fearful of judgment.
No, you're excited.
We're excited to see her. Mm-hmm. And that's what the rapture of the church shall do. It affects how you evangelize. That's what it ought to do when you think Jesus is coming. Oh my goodness. Well, I better witness to this person. Yeah, let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's line our lives up with the gospel and be ready to meet him.
So do you believe that the Bible supports when we talk about just getting back to like the simplistic side of the rapture? So, because I was raised to believe the tribulation was going to happen. We were going to go through all this hard stuff that was going to weed out people, that was going to test your faith. You better have strong faith. Even if you're a believer, you may follow the Antichrist, so be careful. And I was like, again, as a kid, could that pastor be the Antichrist? Could this person be? Like, I would, you know, go to like revival meetings. Uh-oh, hopefully they're not the Antichrist. And I'm blinded. Even though I'm seeking after God, my, you know, motives are pure, whatever. That's like, this is like the narrative that I was raised surrounded by. So on the other side, what you believe and what you believe that the Bible, what you're saying the Bible really dictates is that believers will get called up first and then the tribulation, the 7 years, would happen after that.
Yes, because a lot of this comes from a misunderstanding about what the purpose of the tribulation is.
Yeah, so what is it?
So there's an entire chapter in the book about this, and I thought it would be the smallest chapter, and it turned out to be the most important chapter, understanding the nature of it. The purpose of the tribulation is to fulfill God's promise to the nation of Israel, to bring them back to him, to shake up Israel, to wake up Israel and shake up the earth. That's the entire purpose of it. Because he loves his people.
Yeah.
And he's going to have them in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And he's going to let them know who he is, and Jesus is going to be revealed as the Messiah. That's the entire purpose of the tribulation. And during that time, according to Revelation chapter 6, it is the direct wrath of God being poured out on the entire globe. Now,
Israel will be saved, right?
Yeah, well, and what we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is God's not appointed you, the church, to that wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to remove you. And the example of this, the parallel of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is in Genesis when we have Lot. Lot is in that city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God is going to pour out judgment, but Abraham starts a negotiation, like a good Jewish person. He starts to negotiate with him, and he says, well, what if there are 50 righteous in this city? And here is what Abraham says, shall the judge of all the earth do what's right? He's challenging God. He's saying, if you were to judge the righteous with the wicked, that would not be right. And God said, you're exactly right. I won't do that. If there's 50 righteous, I will not destroy the city. And he starts, well, what if there's 20? What if there's 10?
Yeah.
So no, if there's 10, I won't destroy the city. So he sent the angel down to get Lot and his family out. And the angel said, God cannot destroy this city while you're here. His wrath cannot be poured out while you're here. Now, during the tribulation, his wrath is poured out on the whole earth. And there's some people around this earth that are walking in covenant with him that he cannot pour out his wrath while he's here on the earth. Now, in addition to that, the Antichrist cannot take position while the church is in place, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Okay.
Because we're the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And so when you look at, can I read this to you?
Yes, please.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is talking about this because, again, they thought they were in the tribulation. They thought they had missed the rapture. And he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way, and then the wicked one will be revealed. So there's this restraining force that's keeping all of these things from happening. And that's you and me.
Wow.
That's spirit-filled believers in the earth today that are keeping all these things from happening. And so we're not scared of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is scared of us.
So he won't come until the believers are taken out.
That's right, because he can't. Because we'll cast, what happens when a Holy Ghost-filled believer encounters somebody possessive? We're going to cast it out of
it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I can tell you, during the tribulation, the gates of hell are prevailing everywhere, including, the Bible said, against the saints, which is a term for just people following God.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it makes sense. I guess I didn't realize that in terms of like the end times, let's say that, I mean, I'm a Messianic Jew, so I was raised, you know, we read Israel in the Bible and that's us.
Yes.
So it makes sense why I was raised believing that way. You know, if you're, because I just wasn't aware that like, wait, there's two different promises happening.
Yes.
And so I guess as a Messianic Jew, you kind of feel like a little bit of the gray area, because I'm like, I am part of Israel, but I'm a believer. So like, does that change things?
No, you're part of the church.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Because I mean, yeah, we follow Yeshua. We that's follow exactly Jesus. Right. So,
well, that's actually a question. So the 144,000 talked about in Revelation.
Yeah.
I think chapter
that's
7.
That's on my list.
So are those, so are those people,
No, go ask it, please.
Are those the Jewish people that get saved after the rapture happens? So like if the rapture is one of the greatest evangelistic events,
yeah,
are those 144,000, is that the number that gets saved and then they're sealed from God's judgment on earth?
Here's what we know, that the church is mentioned 19 times from Revelation chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 3. And 4, there's a door open in heaven, and the representative of the church, John, goes up to be in heaven. And then all of a sudden, everything turns to the nation of Israel. Everything becomes extraordinarily Jewish in that moment. Now there are two Jewish evangelists. Now there are 144,000 called from the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel preaching the gospel. Angels are flying around preaching the gospel. Angels with four faces. Preaching the gospel, flying through the air. I mean, it's wild. Yeah, it's wild.
Scary.
Yeah. It is very scary.
Yeah.
And because we're not talking about, because a lot of Christians have kind of taken the position, well, we're called to be lights in the middle of the tribulation and we should prepare people. Listen, there's no preparation. There's no Rocky montage you can go through to get yourself hyped up enough to be able to handle what's about to be poured out on this earth because it's God's direct wrath. Now, where else did God pour out his wrath? On the cross. Poured it out on his son, Jesus, and now we are in him. So if we were here and the wrath was being poured out on us, that would be like crucifying Jesus a second time. And he's not going to do that. Jesus has already been crucified. The wrath has already been poured out. And everyone who's in him, everyone, Jew, Gentile alike, everyone who's in him is going to be taken out of here before that wrath is poured out on the earth.
Wow. So the 144,000, that's 10,000 from each tribe.
12,000.
12,000 from each tribe, sorry. I'm not a mathematician.
Three kinds of people in the world, those who are good at math and those who aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I'm one of them. So you just reminded me of a funny moment from yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like we should say it out because I just mentioned it, but we were.
So there's five panelists on this panel, right? Five panelists. And was it Darren?
It was, Pastor Darren. Yeah.
Darren says, now, we've got four heterosexual men here on this panel. And we're all like, what?
And we're all in the audience. Counting, and we're thinking, five people in there. There are five people in there. And I was like, at the end of the show, I'm like, Pastor Darren, we're going to have to go and do a pickup there because you're going to make a lot of people start wondering who is the one that is not heterosexual on the panel. Anyway, listen, we're gonna keep talking about this. I just feel like now, because we're having a teeny tiny break in the convo, I want to use this time before we go behind the veil. So if you're joining us on YouTube or Rumble or Facebook, you are going to have to say goodbye to us here unless you jump over to odx.tv, which is our online platform. And that is our subscription base, and you can join that. And when you join that, you're partnering with us to help us rescue kids from human trafficking. It's super easy to join. Go to odx.tv or call the number on your screen, 877-413-0888. And guys, before we go behind the veil, because this is the launch week of your book, They Lied to Us About the Rapture, and we have Pastor Alan DiDio in studio with Evan and the family. We wanted to do a little celebration for the launch of your book so you guys can bring in the balloons
Come
and the
on.
Cake.
Oh my goodness. You guys are amazing.
Put this on the floor next to you.
So okay.
They might be tied together, let's say.
There we go.
That's awesome.
Wow. Here.
Look
cake,
at that.
The cake says
rapture ready.
And the D and the Y are being taken up.
That's amazing. Yeah, the D and the Y are getting raptured. Yeah.
We have to
you
eat
guys
it quick.
Are amazing.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Oh my goodness. Thank y'all so much.
The entire thing behind the veil. Have like a food contest and eating. No, I'm just
looks
kidding.
Like Oreos along that.
I know, it does look good.
It's our favorite.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Oh my goodness.
We're so happy that
you are
here
like
with us.
You family to us. Seriously, we love y'all so much. Thank you.
Well, this is cool. God's timing that it worked out. And now you've got the balloons right in your shot. So that's kind of nice.
Awesome?
Look behind him.
Look at that.
Look at that.
This is a celebration.
Yes, I love it. Well, we're so happy to have you. And guys, the conversation is just getting started. We're going to start taking your questions because I've hijacked all the questions and I still have not even gotten to like half the ones on my list, but we're going to go behind the veil, keep the conversation going. So please join us behind the veil on odx.tv and we will see you there. If you're watching us anywhere else, guys, thank you for joining us today. And we'll be right back here next week at this time. We'll see you later.